Looking over all the prophecies that we've looked at so far and looking at the information, well, the revelation that God has given concerning how he has done things in the past. Going to Genesis 3:15, we find that, well, proclamation of the coming of Christ, the battle, the spiritual war that would go on. All through the Old Testament, we have prophets everywhere prophesying about events in their day and also events, well, of the second coming, of the first coming, of all of it. I mean, God has given such an incredible insight into, well, future history. Some of that was done 3,000 years ago when in Psalm 16, the prophecy that Christ would not decay, the resurrection prophecy, 1,000 years in advance. We can look at Isaiah and see about a virgin that would be with child, that they're going to call him Emmanuel. They're going to see a suffering servant, Isaiah 53, all 700 years in advance. And again, if you do a deep study now in biblical prophetic revelation, you're going to find out, dear believer, that the accuracy of God, the massive quantity and communication and, insight that God gives in advance. There is so much advanced insight in the Bible. Where, you know, there's so many people looking at so many other things nowadays. And they're listening to the psychics, and they're listening to the New Agers, and they're listening to ancient occult, you know, scribes and prophecies and so forth, all of which have massive error and did not come from the Spirit of God. When it comes from the Spirit of God, it brings explicit accuracy. It gives detail. And this is one of the things that in one of my favorite verses, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, you and I as a believer in Christ, you know, we rise in each of our days to live for Christ, to walk with Christ, to know him, and we want to learn how to pray and win a soul and live our lives and deal with the issues. Well, one of the issues is, yes, the age that we live in. And I believe that prophetic revelation, and as you read these scriptures throughout this month, you're going to find that they bring impact concerning, well, more than just our day-to-day business. It broadens it. It involves the globe. It involves the nations. It involves the world. It involves the coming chaos, the Antichrist, the end of the age, the final battles, Armageddon. It involves all of this. Millions, well, billions look into it. Now, when you read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, concerning this salvation, your salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you. Now, this is in reference to the Old Testament and what was to come in the first coming. Here's what they did. Here's what the prophets did. Searched intently and with the greatest care. Searched intently and with the greatest care. Christian, this is the Word of God. This is the revelation of the infinite, uncreated, eternal Spirit of God. This is the communication of God. This is where infallibility and accuracy and all that God has revealed is strategically. There's nothing left out. There's nothing added in. We have God's selected, well, in the best. This is what God wants us to know. This is what God wants us to see. And so this massive biblical, listen, you've got your Bible before you maybe. You can hold it in your hands. Take a look at it. Take a look at that simple little book, yet translated now into, well, 1,700 languages around the world, where God is still saving people from every tribe, language, nation, and people. As you and I rise in our daily time to have a morning watch, to meet with God, to be in His presence, to listen to His Spirit, to read the Word of God, I think it's time that we realize that we don't do it lightly. In the book of Hebrews, we can read about not neglecting, don't neglect so great a salvation. Prophecy of the end of days and everything involves salvation. Salvation was prophesied out of the Old Testament into the New. The fulfillment came as you read Matthew's gospel. It is written, it is fulfilled, it is written, it is fulfilled. You're going to see that again and again and again. You're going to see again and again and again how the first coming and salvation is the, it's part of the evidence of God's infallible prophetic nature. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, you know what they did? They searched intently and with the greatest of care. I don't know about you, but I think searching intently and with the greatest of care is an amazing thing. There are so many scriptures on prophecy that even in 31 days, we're not going to get to all of them. But what you do have, grip, meditate, think through it, memorize. Because as you let the word of Christ, the word of God, dwell in you richly, not only does it, listen, help to give you that expectation, bring, as we're saying today, an amazement of God's accuracy, God's work, God's nature, what God is doing. It's incredible when you think in terms of Isaiah, the virgin being with child, being called Emmanuel. God in human flesh is coming 700 years, sure enough. Mary, the angel, the Spirit of God, the birth of God, the Son of God. The Savior who came and lived his life, died on that cross and did all that he's done, and he's coming again. And so what we read of the past, coming to the first coming of Christ, is sheer amazement. And there is nothing like it. Now, with the bulk of this revelation, prophetic revelation, speaking of the second coming, this, my dear brother and sister, should not only help us to keep ourselves pure, help us to evangelize, help us to do the work of God, help us to, well, stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene, as the old hymn says. These prophets who searched intently with the greatest care were amazed. They were gripped, looking over every verse, studying, praying. They were trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. You know what verse 11 is telling us? That the old prophets of the Old Testament, in reference to the first coming of Christ, they were searching intently with the greatest of care, trying to find out the time and circumstances. Notice, to which the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit of Christ dwelling in you now. Romans 8 says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. If you're born of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, operating in you, just as the Spirit of Christ operated in Old Testament prophets, giving them insight to the written prophetic revelation concerning the first coming. Verse 11 says they were trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted, when he, God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And again, I'm going to tell you that this to me is massive, massive amazement. That these prophets could look, could search. And I think as you dedicate your studies and you search and you read and you look and you experience the Spirit of Christ guiding you, realizing that thousands of years ago, the same Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit of God, guided them. You're connected. Every one of the prophets was, listen, in a relationship with God, just as you are right now. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you are in a relationship with the living God. And the Spirit of God that moved in those prophets and guided them is dwelling in you. And now we know more, having the New Testament and all of its massive prophetic revelation, than ever before. So I stand amazed, like that old hymn, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. When I begin to read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, second half of verse 7, read this. This will happen, referring to God dealing with evil and giving relief to us. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Connect that with Revelation 19. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. More is said on that in chapter 2. They refuse to love the truth and so be saved. But look at chapter 1, verse 9 in 2 Thessalonians. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day. See, on that day, he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. See, all those who have believed and received the salvation, the rescue, the redemption, the restoration of God, they've received God's way out of this fallen, broken, well, Satan-injected, sin-cursed world. Jesus is coming. That's amazing. Christ in you, that is amazing. Christ in the old prophets, guiding them concerning the first coming, that's amazing. Christ in you, the Spirit of the Lord, guiding you in looking at revelation of the second coming. Oh, it does involve the end of evil. It does involve the end of those who have rejected and said no and put their hearts against God. That is sad. He's not willing that any perish. But they're going to be shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. See, you as a believer, you will experience and see the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in. See, when we are instantaneously glorified, our lowly bodies made like unto his, seeing the glorified Christ, that is the eternal revelation of what we will see. That is the ultimate. There is nothing beyond that. Now there can be growing and learning more and seeing, of course. But listen, once Christ comes, once we are glorified, the majesty of his power. It says in verse 10, and to be marveled. See, this is the word of God predicting our response to being glorified and seeing Christ. To me, that's amazing that God can even say and see what is on the minds of people in the future, what is in their feeling, what they're thinking, what they're... I mean, this is God knows it in detail. And you and I are going to marvel. We're going to stand there stupefied, not stupefied, but astounded, overwhelmed, almost unable to utter words. Maybe the first day when all of us are there glorified and we're seeing the forever glorified Christ, God now face to face. Maybe for the first number of moments, every one of us stand there in glorified bodies with our mouths open and our eyes wide open, looking, marveling at Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed now by what God has said and God has done. I'm amazed now of the incredible insight, cutting edge insight, that God can give to all of us as believers. To be able to point to all these events and to help speak to the world, show them the amazing revelation of God, and point them to the, well, amazing Savior, Christ, who's coming again. May God breathe upon you fresh today. May you stand amazed in the presence. Maybe you can find it, the old hymn. Maybe start singing it. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. There'll be a day, even now, we do in his presence, literally, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we can be amazed now by Christ in us, the Spirit of Christ showing us biblical revelation. But we will have our eyes opened, our hearts, our minds, our feelings in that glorified body, overwhelmed by the sight of Christ. 31 Days Ablaze, this is Russ Dizdar. God bless.